Good evening, we're starting a new semester. I want to tell you a story. How many of you plan on being here till Shavuos this year? Okay. If I were to ask you to make a list as we approach the month of Elul of the things that you're frustrated with yourself about, of the things you wish you were different, of the things that you're not too pleased with yourself about, and I gave you each a piece of paper, is there anyone here that couldn't fill in at least half a page? Okay. I'm not going to ask about a whole page. Now let me ask you a question. If I would give you a piece of paper and I'd say, can you fill in what you're happy about yourself? What you're proud about your accomplishments? Could you fill a whole page? Why not? I hope so. Most people today are very cognizant of what they wish was different. Most people today are very frustrated. We walk around with repeated frustration about the things we wish were different.
Or that were not enough.
Or not enough. A friend of mine pointed out to me that the Torah says you have to make a declaration. When you bring your gifts to the temple, you make a declaration and you say, Asiti kechol asher tzivitani. I've done everything you told me to do. Really? How could you say that? Can a Jew today say, I've done everything you wanted me to do? So then the problem is that we have demands of ourselves that are unreasonable. And we have to come to a realization of a few things. We're going to start with one. Number one. I'm going to say a sentence, and I want you to quietly repeat after me, okay? I am important.
I am good.
I am important, and I am good. And the world is going to be really lacking when I die.
Okay.
Isn't that a fundamental concept? You guys are sitting there thinking it's easy for him to say. You have no idea how hard it is for me to say. I have the same weakness. You know how many times I'm frustrated with myself? In an hour, not in a day. But it's a weakness of our generation. We have to develop positive self-worth. We have to come to a realization, I am good. Woe to the world the day I die. I feel bad for the world the day I'm not going to be here. So you'll ask me, am I indispensable? Of course I'm not indispensable. Yes, I am indispensable. Explain to me, do my children have another Abba?
Nope.
Is there anyone else in the world that's their father? What do you mean, am I indispensable? You'll ask me, does that mean that children without a father can't live? They could live. Does that mean that children without a father can't grow? They can grow. But they don't have another father. Do my parents have another son who's called Netanel? No. They have their other kids. But my role is only my role. They don't have another kid that plays that role. Does my wife have another husband? Can a woman get remarried? Sure, a woman can get remarried. Could her second husband be better than her first husband? Sure, he could be better. But I'm playing that role right now. In my role in this world, I'm indispensable. Does that mean the world will collapse without me? No. I know the world will continue, but it will continue, and it will be missing me. And what I'm doing now is important. And it's positive. And we forget that. And so we walk around frustrated with what we're not doing. And we forget what we are doing. And that is the number one yetzer hara that destroys a person's service of Hashem. The number one, in my humble opinion, yetzer hara of our generation, the number one challenge is that we do not have healthy self-worth. And that destroys the good that we do. Because when a person walks around and feels good about himself, When a person walks around and says, I am positive, I am good, it is good for the world that I am here, then a person has strength to do more good. And when a person walks around and he's frustrated and he says, oh boy, you know how I wanted to start this class? Let's rewind, let's start from scratch, okay? Class begins, I walk in. I am so sorry I'm late. Guys, you wouldn't believe it. I forgot my keys again. And it's the stupidest thing in the world because I was unlocking the chain and I forgot the keys on the floor right there next to my bike. And instead of having the keys to pedal here, I have to pedal the whole way without the electricity. And now, while you guys all go down to Ma'ariv, I'm going to have to ride back to the old city, pick up the keys, ride back here to the Machon, and at the end of class, figure out when I'm downing Ma'ariv. It's all true, by the way. I forgot my keys today. I had to pedal. I had to ride back while you guys were davening Maariv, and I'm going to have to daven Maariv when we finish class tonight. It's all true. But is it my focus? Do I spend energy thinking how frustrated I am because I'm a dunce? I forgot my keys on the floor. And I'm fortunate they weren't stolen. Or do I say, I am not a dunce. I'm a wonderful person. I am a wonderful person. Do you have the guts to say that? But you should, it's true. How bad are we? So I forgot the keys on the floor. Big deal. I wish I didn't. It's going to be hardship for me. Does that make me a dunce? I've done good things. I've done negative things. Have I utilized today the way I wish I would have? No. Can I look at the end of the day, look back at today and say, yeah, it was a good day. I did what I wanted to do. No. So how am I supposed to sit down at night before I go to bed? Boy, am I a negative person. Oh, isn't this terrible? Look at what I didn't do. I should have done so much, and had I utilized my time better, I would have done so much. And if I would have been more focused, and if I wouldn't have let myself get dragged down, what's going to come of that kind of conversation? Nothing. Nothing good. It'll weaken me. It won't give me the impetus to work tomorrow. Nothing good comes of it. You want to be positive? So look back and say, okay, I did this, and I did that. And tomorrow I want to do that better. And I have to figure out how to overcome A and B, but there's a lot of good today. We don't give ourselves credit. We don't give ourselves credit, the basic credit that would give us the satisfaction of waking up in the morning. Does a person open his eyes and say, Modeh ani lefanecha, thank you, Rabbon Shalom, I have another beautiful day. Or does a person get up and say, shucks, I'm late again. How many people open their eyes and their first thought is, shucks? That's illegitimate. That's wrong. I know, I'm one of them too. I also open my eyes and say, shucks. It's either, shucks, I'm so tired, how am I supposed to get out of bed like this? Or it's, shucks, I slept and I should have gotten out of bed earlier. But it's never great. Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. I have another wonderful day. There's so much I have to accomplish today. Because there's always reasons to be frustrated, but they're a lie. They're the Yetzer Hara trying to take the wind out of us. And so I had this amazing student years ago. The guy lost his father and his mother when he was a kid. He didn't have a home growing up. The guy was self-made. He would spend one day by a brother and another day by a sister and another day by an aunt. And throughout all this Mishka Babel, he had to do elementary school and high school. And then I had the honor of teaching him as he entered the army. And I meet him one Purim. And I take him out of the dance floor and I say, we'll call him Yossi, even though that's not his real name. I say, Yossi, you know, you're nearing the end of your army service. It's great that you came to Yeshiva to dance with us. Why don't we start thinking about a shidduch for you? So he looks at me and he says, you want me to date? No, Rabbi, I can't date. I say, Yossi, have you drank? He says to me, no, I didn't drink. He says, then why can't you date? So he says to me, I'm not ready to date. I say, Yossi, you're finishing the army. You don't have a house to go back to. You need to build your own house. If other guys can wait, why would you want to wait? And he says to me, I can't date. I haven't developed myself yet. I say, Yossi, are you kidding? You've built so much about yourself. He says, you don't see me? I said, I do, and I'm so impressed. And he looks at me and he says, you don't see me? And I say, what do you mean? And he says, don't you see I'm fat? I say, so? He says, what do you mean? How could I date? I'm still fat. And I said, you've accomplished so much. you've gotten yourself educated, you've developed into a marvelous young man, and you've had to do it without really having a home, and you're a wonderful catch. If I had a daughter, I'd set her up with you. And he says, you don't see that I'm fat? I said, I didn't say you were underweight, but so what? He says, I can't date when I'm fat. So why can't you date when you're fat? He says, because I'm fat. I said, so you're a million wonderful things, and you have one area which you still want to improve. He says, no. I can't marry someone like this. Who's going to want to marry me when I'm like this? And I spoke to him for about 20 minutes, and I came to a realization that what he was telling me, I keep telling myself. He was taking stupid weakness and saying, that's me. I'm the fatso. That's me. No, you're not. You're a wonderful human being. You're a Jew who's accomplished. He came from a home that they didn't keep Shabbos. And the guy without parents, as a youngster, already started being observant. The guy is amazing. But no, he doesn't see all that. You see, if I'm overweight, then there's nothing good about me. So we look at him and we say, you're being blinded. It's one weakness. There's a whole personality that's amazing here. But then let's ask ourselves, don't we do the same thing? Don't we have those areas? I asked you at the beginning tonight, if I gave you a piece of paper, could you fill out half a page with what frustrates you? You should be able to fill out a book with all your successes and achievements, because there's so much good that everyone does. I don't think I have any criminals in the class. Oh, we all have our weaknesses. Everyone knows when they were a little kid, they might have taken some snack as their mother was in the checkout line. Everyone has their thing they want to... I told you yesterday, I could tell you things you all feel guilty about. That's irrelevant. That's a weakness. But the real weakness is when we let that be our self-image. And Rav Nachman of Breslov said, you take a penny and you put it close to your eye, it will blot out the sun. You can take the smallest thing, and if you choose to focus on it, then you can't see anything else. And this is our major weakness in this generation. We take our weaknesses, we take our frustration, and we put them center stage. And suddenly, I can't date, I'm still overweight. So, I have a friend who tells me every half a year or a year he started a new diet. I always say, you're very good at it. He says, what do you mean? I say, oh, he's starting another diet. You know, you go up, you go down, you go up, you go down. He says, I have to lose weight. I said, fine, okay. You don't think I have to lose weight? I tell him, I don't think about your weight. I think about all the wonderful things about you, and I never think about your weight. Sometimes I see you this way, and sometimes I see you that way, and it really doesn't matter to me. That's really irrelevant to me. So we have to be able to say, I am good. It's good for the world that I live. And I'm thankful to be alive. And then we can move on to step two. If I can see that I'm a positive person, I am a good person, and it's good for the world that I live, then I could move on to step two. And step two is, Hashem loves me. When we think of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it is rare that we have positive thoughts. I come home, and my kids will very often say, Abba, can you fix this for me? Abba, he hit me. Abba, you promised. Abba, I walk in and I say, hi, I'm the Kaspomat, I'm the ATM machine. I come home, you just put in requests, right? Give me money, fix my toy, fix the light, fix the fan. No. Hi, it's good to see you. How was your day? How's your teacher behaving? How's her student behaving? Let's talk. There's more to Abba than give me, fix for me, do for me, right? So we have this attitude. We walk into tefillah, we walk into our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we think either I ask him for what I want and I ask him for what I need, or I'm scared of him, of all the things he told me to do and I didn't listen. Those are the two thoughts we have about the Ribbono Shel Olam. But there's a third central thought that should really be there, and that is, look at how much the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. And it's a choice of what we focus on, just like any relationship. What am I focused on? Because they're all real components in the relationship. When we stand Shmona Esrei, what am I talking? Am I talking to a God that loves me? Yes, I am. I just have to remind myself that. So our second point is, after I can convince myself, I am good, I am positive, the world is lucky to have me, the next point is, Hashem loves me. Hashem loves me. I am important to Him. You see, we think of the Ribbon Shalom as the one who created the heaven and the earth and all the stars and all the galaxies and all the amazing things in nature. He did amazing. He also created me. It was important that I should be here. So the second point is this idea. And the more a person connects to it, the more a person can see value in what they're doing. I am important. I am good. The world is lucky to have me. Point one. Point two, Hashem loves me. He created me. There's a purpose for me here. And He wants me to succeed. And point number three, and with this we will conclude tonight, is also a pivotal point that changes one's perspective. But before I go there, I want to make sure we're not missing our pizza guy. And the final point. I grew up in a wonderful home. Thank God. I am thankful to my parents. But when you're a child, even when you have good parents, you very often think that they're not good. You very often disagree with their decisions. Sometimes all your friends are doing something and they say no. And you're not so happy with them. So there would be times, believe it or not, where I was very displeased with my parents. Very. I mean, very. There was World War III in the house. And sometimes, my father would end an argument and say, when you grow up, you'll just have to print one of those t-shirts. Just like people are called survivors of the Holocaust, you will print the t-shirt that says, I am a survivor of the Frankenthal house. Okay? You'll have a t-shirt that says, I survived. Okay? And whenever anyone will ask you, you'll be able to say, I survived him. Okay? But then my father would add another line and say, but you have to realize that we are all our parents' survivors. We are all our parents' survivors. Everyone can come up with an excuse and say, sorry, I'm saying this in front of your dad. Not so nice of me. But everyone can come back and say, this is the first time I'm giving this class where his son's sitting next to his father as I'm saying this. Good thing it's not my father sitting here. Okay. But my father would tell us, he'd say, you know, everyone can walk through life and say, yeah, I had to, you know what I had to put up with as a kid? Everyone has to overcome certain challenges and hardships and things that we view that weren't fair about our childhood, and you have to overcome it and be a normal, fine adult in spite of that. You have to overcome the weaknesses and the challenges you grew up with. You have no choice. You can't walk around and say, if you knew what I went through, yeah, it could be you went through hell. Could be. No one's denying that. So now you're going to be a gangster? No. You have to overcome that. And that brings us to our third point. When a person can connect to the concept of Hashgacha Pratit. Chazal tell us before we are born, our soul gets an interview. And our soul is asked, where do you want to be born? To which parents? To what type of life? And our soul, knowing its strengths and weaknesses, makes choices. So when we look at life, very often we say, I don't know why I was born with this body. For the life of me, I can't figure out why God gave me such a poor memory. I don't know why. I don't know why there are pages of Talmud that I've reviewed 100 times and I still forget them. Why?
Because you need to do it 101 times.
I've done it 101 times. I don't know why God blessed me with such a memory. I don't know why I have certain weaknesses that I do. But if you connect to the concept that this was part of God's plan for you, you were supposed to be born in this continent, in this family, in this time zone, in this religion, under these circumstances, with these strengths and with these weaknesses, and they're exactly matched for your task in this world. So some people have certain weaknesses and other people have other weaknesses. When I was a child, I did not know if I would be observant. It was not at all obvious to me. And when I started learning, and I decided I want to be more serious about my learning, and then I started teaching at Machon Meir, and then I was teaching at Machon Meir half a decade, one time my mother asked me, do you ever put on a magic show for your students? I said, no, Mom, I don't do that anymore. My mother says, but you were so good at it. The guys would love it. And I said, Mom, you know, I really regret all the time I invested learning martial arts and learning magic. and learning alternative medicine and learning photography and learning astronomy. And I learned a heck of a lot of sciences because I was interested in a lot of things, but I wish I would have used that time learning Torah. And my mother said to me, if you would have spent all that time learning Torah, you couldn't teach in the Mechon Meir. My mother said to me, all the experiences that you went through throughout your childhood and your questions and your doubts and the time where you weren't sure if you wanted to be observant or you wouldn't be observant, and all of that is what brought you to where you are today. That's why when you talk to guys, you understand them. You've been where they are. That's why when you give a class, you can share with them the background you have in different areas. That's part of who you are, and that's why you are who you are. So obviously there are choices we make in life. No one can take that away from us, and it's our responsibility to live with the results of those choices. But we also have to realize that there are things that are not our choices. There are many factors in our life that are beyond our choice. We don't choose the family we're born into. We don't choose the religion we're born into. You can choose what religion you will observe. But when a person is born and he says, why do I have to undergo the gear process? This guy was born Jewish and I wasn't. Why is it my fault? Well, maybe you didn't choose. Maybe you did choose. Whatever. But bottom line, in heaven there was a decision that this is perfectly right for you. The second we connect to that, then we can absolve ourselves of many frustrations. Sometimes our frustrations are about things that are beyond our control. How frustrated do I get when I read a page that I learned yesterday and I can't remember if I learned it yet? I broke my teeth over it yesterday. I learned it yesterday. I understood it yesterday. And today I revisit the page and I can't even remember if I learned it or not. I'm starting from scratch. Now that's frustrating. But is it? Can I do different? Is it in my control? Or can I say, these are the gifts God gave me. I got to make it work well. I got to make good out of it. So our third point is, when we can look at life and say, God gave me these challenges and these blessings, and it's perfect. I don't have to beat myself up over things that are beyond my control. On the contrary, I have to be at peace with the reality I'm living with. Now that I'm at peace, I can build, I can grow. And the recurring theme in everything I've said goes back to a story with which we will conclude. There was a yeshiva where the students could not get up in time for davening. And the one who was in charge of trying to help them asked me what I thought. And I said, I think you should tell the guys that they have to stop working on getting up on time. He said, what do you mean? I said, you should tell them for the next month, there's no more working on getting up on time. He said, and? I said, and when they get up, there's one thing they have to do, and that is not be upset that they overslept. That's the only thing they have to do. They have to go forward with their day happily. Meaning, go down, go eat breakfast, go learn. You show up late to class, you missed class, you show up late to your chavrusa, you missed your chavrusa. Forget it. Take it easy. One thing you have to do, not be upset. Be at peace. It worked. After 2 weeks, the guys were all smiling. They came to yeshiva happy. Oh, they went to daven at their 8:30, 9:30, 10:30 minyan. But what happens ordinarily when you oversleep? You get up and you're upset. Oh no, I'm late. If I'm late, you barely brush your teeth. Maybe yes, maybe no. Do you switch clothing or do you throw on yesterday's clothing? Do you switch undergarments or do you continue with last night's undergarments? You run out and you feel ichsak the whole day. You don't go take a shower. You don't run a normal schedule. You go to a minyan, you run in, you're late. You run out, you barely gotten a prayer. You know you didn't pray. You run back, you wolf down half a breakfast. And I didn't even eat anything that you're happy with. You come to your chavrusa, he's upset with you. You're upset with you. You barely learn. And instead of losing 2 hours of the morning, it takes you until about 2 in the afternoon to forget what you just went through. And you've destroyed the next 4 hours as well. So did you produce anything productive? Now, do you go to sleep on time? Do you get up on time the next morning? Did you do anything to grow in that area? No. What happens when you get up and you're cool? So you get up and you're cool. So now what? You go down, you eat your breakfast. It costs you another 15 minutes because you do take a shower, you do put on clean clothing, you do daven like a mensch, and you show up to seder, but you're calm, you're happy. And from that moment onward, you continue succeeding. And when you succeed, then success breeds success, and you have the drive, after a few days of success, to actually get up on time. and go to sleep on time. The greatest weakness we have, what we started discussing, is that we beat up on ourselves. If we could be at peace with ourselves, that's when we can start growing.